This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We just talked for a few minutes about the Jonathan Martin story, the former Miami Dolphins offensive lineman. He's been out of football for the better part of the last decade or so, and he's in crypto, he's in the business world, he's a Stanford grad, so he's finding lucrative things to go do, I suppose. But there is one texter, as we were talking about that story, saying in Richie Incognito, who's of course is the one who's probably the face of the bully side of things with the alleged Jonathan Martin
Bullygate.
Bullygate. That's what it was called. The texter here says Incognito may not be the best dude, and his career may have been winding down, but his career definitely ended because of this crap. I think crap. It just says CRA. I'm assuming crap is the last word of this stuff. You're 100% wrong, texter. Now, briefly, like Incognito was suspended in 2013 over this in November, and he was out of football for a year. So my guess is he would have played somewhere in 2014 had this not happened. However, he went on to play six more seasons in the NFL. He played three for the Bills. He made the Pro Bowl all three of those years.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he played three more for John Gruden in Las Vegas and Oakland. So this was a speed bump of sorts, a pothole for Richie Incognito, but he was far from done after this. Like that's just
No, it didn't end. Well, it didn't end his career. By any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But that's the thing about Richie Incognito. Remember, there, like, Richie Incognito had serious mental health issues as well. Like, there were various times that the police had to be called because of the way Richie Incognito was acting and behaving. The one time in the gym where I believe that was the time where he was convinced that he was either a government agent or there were government agents following him. He showed up at his dad's funeral and demanding that he be able to go take his head to freeze it cryogenically, which was against the wishes of the other family members. He's got problems.
Yeah.
So it was an ugly situation all around.
Yep, no question. All right, today's a big day, Seth. Today is February 17th. It's President's Day, so it's a big day there. But it's also a big day for the Texans administratively. Today is the day that Stephon Diggs' contract voids if the Texans don't sign him to an extension. And I believe it's at some point in the middle of the afternoon. I was texting with a couple folks I thought would know, and that seemed to be the general consensus is, you know, sometime like 3 p.m. today or something like that. But either way, I have not heard nor seen anything that even looks close to smoke that a deal is getting done. There have been no rumblings of anything with the Texans and Diggs.
Right. Yeah. I'll be surprised at this point if all of a sudden there's an extension announced.
Yes, me too. Me too.
And I get it. I think that maybe even if the Texans want him back, that Diggs could totally just want to see what's out there for him. It could be that, as you pointed out earlier, that, man, he's still recovering from his ACL, and he wants to be sure that if he's going to get the best offer from a team that's in a good situation to compete for a Super Bowl, that he wants to be able to go out and just show those teams what he has, and it might be later. The best contract for him, even if it's with the Texans, he might not feel like he wants to sign until July or so, when he's further along in his rehab. So it would have been nice if the Texans were able to come to some kind of an agreement with him, an extension on his contract, where it would, they'd get the services of Stephon Diggs, but also they'd be able to spread out this $16.5 million cap hit somehow. But I'm not optimistic that's going to happen.
No, right, I'm not either. We've had a few people ask us, what about Cooper Kupp?
Yeah.
That would be a trade. There's familiarity there with Nick Kaley and Cooper Kupp, to be sure.
But it's a huge cap hit for a guy that has not been all that good over the last... he's been good, but he hasn't been the same Cooper Kupp that you're thinking of.
No.
He's not 1,500-yard receiving season Cooper Kupp.
He's not healthy
either. He's had a spate of injuries that have limited him. And the trade right now would be a whole lot of extra cap room for a guy that's probably going to end up being released by the Rams, I think.
Maybe so. The Texans, for what it's worth, are, according to overthecap.com, they are slightly over the cap right now, according to overthecap.com, about $100,000 over the cap, which is, I mean, in the grand scheme of a $250 million cap or whatever it is, that's obviously just pennies. Now, I will say this, the $16.6 million cap hit that the Texans are going to take with Diggs if they don't extend him today is baked into that number. So it's not as though, like, this Diggs thing hits and now there's $16 million over the cap. On over the cap, they have already factored that number in to the Texans' overall cap. So it's baked in there. The overall thing is they're going to need to probably make some moves. There may be some cuts coming to open up some cap space if they're going to go get new guys.
Well, I think the thing with Cooper Kupp, there's two things to know about Cooper Kupp. There's one, that Cooper Kupp didn't ask for the trade, which always feels better. I like that, okay, this isn't a disgruntled guy or whatever that's trying to get out of town. I think he'd probably be really happy if he landed with the Texans, with a good young quarterback, with a coach that he's familiar with, and Nick Kaley. But he's not the same guy he used to be. But if he does get eventually cut and you can sign him at something reasonable, look, he works really well with a guy like Puka Nacua. And he has a familiarity with Nick Kaley that, I'm totally open to them signing him as a free agent at the right price. That would be really nice. It's just I don't get overly excited about it because he hasn't had more than 800 yards receiving in a season since that night. Oh, I forgot it was 1,900 yards that he had in 2021.
Yeah, the year they won the Super Bowl. Yeah,
he was on pace for over 1,500 yards in 2022, but that's when he got injured.
Yep.
And then the last couple of years, he's played 12 games in each of these past two seasons, and he's had just above 700 yards in both those seasons.
Houston Stressens, Garrett, who runs Houston Stressens, came up with a list of guys with Kaley / McVay ties. For what it's worth, you know, the Kaley thing is obviously the closer degree of separation when it comes to the Texans. I'll tell you the other, you know, I know they have Puka Nacua. I know they have Cooper Kupp. DeMarcus Robinson, who's on that team, he's a good player. I mean, he's not going to be a marquee-level wide receiver, but you don't have to pay him like a marquee-level wide receiver. That's a name that's very interesting to me that Kaley has direct experience with. You know, some of these other names that Garrett came up with, it's a little, you know, kind of a couple degrees of separation because of of him pulling McVay into the argument here as a tie to this whole thing. Now, I'll tell you one name that comes up when you do this. I don't want Brandon Cooks back in the building.
Why?
I do.
He's the archer.
Oh, that's right. Never
they
mind.
Still allow that celebration?
Never mind. I did. Oh, it's violent. Yeah. No, I don't know.
Do they allow the archer or not?
That's a good question, man.
But it's a biblical archer.
It is.
Maybe that matters.
Do you want Brandon Cooks back on this team?
No, I don't need that resting Cooks face dude around all the time.
He ditched you. And I'm not saying the Texans made this list. And I'm not even throwing shade at Garrett. He's just coming up with names that have some sort of tangential tie to guys in the building now. Brandon Cooks, of all the guys on this list, he's probably better players than some of these guys. Tutu Atwell. Ben Skoranek. We remember him. He's actually got ties to the Texans from training camp last year. I don't want Brandon Cooks quit on this organization. Quit.
No, he quit, and he was just good. He was good buds with Jack Easterby. Remember we did that little exercise last week about which of these former Texans would be most likely to bury the hatchet with the Texans?
Yes.
I feel like Brandon Cooks is the one who still has just actual reasons for being disgruntled in his mind, he's got reasons to still be disgruntled with the organization. After they paid him way more than they should have, by the way.
Yeah.
They gave him a much bigger contract than they should have and then traded him away, and yet he was still remained angry with the Texans.
Yes.
No.
Yeah. No
Brandon Cooks
of it.
Isn't allowed in the city. He's not allowed to. He's not allowed to make a connecting flight through Bush.
Nope.
Damn it.
Nope. We gotta have the software at Bush that recognizes the retinal detection software. You know, facial recognition.
You will see no Bush in Houston, Brandon Cooks.
That's right. No Bush for you. That's right. Richie Incognito is getting some attention on the text page. Incognito might be a little crazy, but I want him on my side in a war. In a war.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Incognito is a psycho and a bully, but he was damn good. We need a couple guards like that. All right. Okay, that's the question, Seth. Do we want our guards to be a little more like Richie Incognito?
Yes. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Maybe not all the way like Richie Incognito.
Yeah. Incognito is one of those guys that I think he got better in his career when he learned to not try to be murdering somebody all the time.
Yeah.
Because guys like Antonio Smith was really good at this. Like, he would take advantage of Richie Incognito's over-aggressiveness.
Would he ever?
Yeah. And because the more that guy like that wants to kill you, the more he ends up lunging and being off balance and everything. Incognito got a lot better once he realized that he had to be a little bit less psycho. But yeah, you definitely want guys where you're trying to tamp down the psycho instead of like trying to encourage them to be a little bit more psycho.
Yes, yes, yes. There's definitely a reason the Rams are selling on Cup. Yeah, he's expensive, and he can't play to that level anymore. They're hoping someone will take the contract off their hands.
He's got a contract that's way more lucrative than his play is justified since he got it. Well, since he got injured after he got that contract.
Yep. Another question. Boy, the wide receiver topic gets people talking. On the Jim Adler Texas Hammer text line, what's the likelihood they pursue Garrett Wilson instead? I think it's very minimal. I don't think this team is in the market right now to, A, be trading multiple high picks, which is what the Jets are going to be looking for Garrett Wilson, and, B, subsequently pay that person. I don't think they want two receivers that are making 25, 30-plus million.
Nico's a bona fide stud, and we're in an era in the NFL where you can find whether they become bona fide studs or just studly enough, you can find those guys in the late first round and in the second round, which lo and behold, hey, look, the Texans have those things this year.
Yep.
I don't need a huge marquee trade for marquee talent right now. Nico is enough as the alpha in that room, and then you try to draft really well or make reasonable free agency signings. I'm good with that.
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
Which is why, I mean, look, last year, going into last year, where it was still a good wide receivers room. They didn't know, Bobby Sloak didn't know what to do with them, but you had Tank Dell, draft pick, and you had Stephon Diggs, which is a reasonably traded for veteran, not a marquee slam, trade away your future type of trade.
Yeah, yeah. Going to be interesting, man. Like, if there's no contract for Diggs today, then the Diggs era is probably over, and we can do the full complete report card on the Diggs trade.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule him coming back, but I wouldn't rule out him coming back, but it's still on. It's
heavy
versus
underdog.
The field, it's much more likely that he goes elsewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I would think that if he were of mind to come back here, then he would understand. I'm not saying he doesn't understand the argument. I think he would embrace the argument that, hey, if we do this now, here's what's a fair offer on February 17th. If we do this now, this is going to help us be able to go find more players, because of the cap hit that they're going to take today if they don't sign him.
I wonder, in Buffalo, you heard a lot all season long about how, like, hey, it looks like we're doing just fine without Stephon Diggs. I wonder if by the end of that Chiefs game, if maybe they felt like, or by the end of the playoffs, having a guy like Diggs around might have helped. Yeah.
Kiss and make up between the two sides?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Diggs was a model citizen with everything he said about Josh Allen since then.
And Josh Allen went out of his way to not say anything. It really made the run-up to the Bills game super boring. Remember, we were hoping, like, week five, someone's going to say something. These two sides hate each other. And everybody was all kumbaya. Diggs with the Bills and Allen with Diggs. And it was, maybe they need to get back together again, the two sides.
I don't want that, but, yeah, it could happen.
Yeah, I want Diggs back here, man. I do. I'm hoping for a little Hail Mary at this point, that something happens today. I want Diggs back here, mostly to see if Cardi B will show up at training camp. Simone Biles used to for Jonathan Owens.
Yeah. Oh, Cardi B at training camp would be...
That would be dope,
man. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
No, listen. James Harden's worst season as a Rocket, well, in seasons in which he actually wanted to play basketball, was the year that he was dating the lesser Kardashian.
Chloe.
Was that not his worst season as a Rocket until the final season?
I think that was the same season. I'll have to check the timeline, but it was that one season. There was only one season that Harden was here. And people forget how great he was in the regular season sometimes. Like, that was the only year he didn't make first-team All-NBA as a Rocket, up until like the last year where he was getting fat and wanted out. But up through the CP3 years, the second CP3 year, he was amazing other than, I think that Khloe Kardashian year was that year they went 41-41 and barely made the playoffs. Him and Dwight hated each other, and they chose James over. They let Dwight walk after the season, and they signed Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, and we're off to the races again.
You know, the most famous guy I ever played with, like the most famous spouse, was Chris Howard when I was with the Jaguars. Remember Chris Howard, the Michigan running back?
He's a running back. Yeah, Michigan.
He was married to Gabrielle Union.
No way.
And it was one of those things where she was by far the more famous celebrity, you know, because he never really did much as an NFL running back.
Yeah.
And it was, I think he had a certain bit of extra status. You're like, holy crap, that guy, dude, he landed Gabrielle Union. What the hell?
Yeah. Are they still together? Do you know? Or are they?
No, they got divorced in 2006. Oh,
okay. That's too bad. That's too bad. Well, you know, Lovie Smith said, sometimes divorce is a good thing. So, there you go.
Yeah, he said it so much.
A lot. Well, there was a lot of divorce going on while Lovie was in the building.
Yeah, the fact that Gabrielle Union is married to Dwayne Wade was probably the first indicator that she's still not married to Chris Howard, you know?
That's right, I forgot.
That was probably...
Are they still together? No, Sean. maybe it's polygamy. You never know, man. All right. Payne and I forgot that's who Dwayne Wade was married to. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Monday. Up next... there is an article in The Athletic. We just got done talking about Diggs and the him signing. If he were to sign an extension, it would help the Texans out cap-wise. They did one cap cut for each of the 32 teams. How would we feel about this guy getting cut from the Houston Texans? We will tell you who that is coming up.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Mashed.
Got a text from Clint. He's like, Gabriella Union's married to D. Wade, I think, Chief.
Yeah.
It was pointed out. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate that.
That's got to be extra. That's tough when, you know, your ex marries somebody in your own profession of sorts, professional athlete, who's much, much better at your job than you. It's one thing if she goes, so Chris Howard was her previous husband, who was my... When I was in Jacksonville, they were just... I don't think they were married yet, but they were together. They were an item.
She around?
No, he ended up getting married. I never met her or anything. Yeah. She was around, like, people would... Yeah, she was around. But I think it was more like, no, she was mostly in Hollywood and he would go out there.
Yeah.
Than it was, yeah, she wasn't... So anyway, yeah, so Chris Howard was he was in the league for a few years as a running back, but he was no Dwayne Wade. He wasn't the Dwayne Wade of the NFL.
No.
You know?
No, he was not. He was not. So she decided, you know what I could use? Instead of trying to find the Dwayne Wade of the NFL, I'm just gonna go find Dwayne Wade.
Like if Brandy ditched me for Colin Coward, I don't think I could. I think I'd have to leave the country.
We would play so much Coward audio on this show.
She dumps me for Stephen A. Smith. Oh, like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I might have to change my name or something.
Who would be the one that would annoy you the most? Probably Cowherd, right? Probably Cowherd's up there. Florio.
Okay, of all the... Florio. Okay, who would I be coolest with? He's a slightly different. Who would I be most ashamed of myself if Brandy ditched me for? Colin Cowherd, Stephen A. Smith.
Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons. That's it right there. That's it right there. Yeah. That would crush me. That would destroy me. That would be.
I love this game.
That would be the end of me.
Oh my god.
That's funny.
That is funny.
I'd join a cult. Not even one of the good ones. I would join a cult that wasn't even like grounded in religion or anything. At some point, it was just like, listen, this is just a way we get away with being meth dealers. Okay,
right, Seth. Right.
I'm like, I'm in.
It's from.
They're like, listen, a lot of your family's gonna try to talk you out of it. Like, no, they won't. That's why I'm joining the cult. Okay.
Oh man. All right, so the Athletic has cap cuts for each of the 32 teams. And there's some interesting names on here. Like these are guys that all of a sudden are like getting kind of, you know, they get cut, they're thrown into a bin where you're like, oh, "Okay, well these guys probably aren't looking for top shelf money. You know, there's a reason they just got cut." I'll get to the Texans one first here just to pay off. Danico Autry. The selection in this particular article about the guy the Texans could cut to open up some cap space, and make no mistake, if the Texans are going to make some moves in free agency or extend some of their current guys, you know, like Derek Stingley Jr., they're going to need to clear up some cap space. The article says this. Mike Jones says, Autry never lived up to the expectations the Texans had for him when he inked a two-year, $20 million deal. He wound up starting just two of the 10 games he appeared in, 13 tackles, three sacks. He lays out the ramifications of doing a post-June 1st cut, which would open up even more cap space for the Texans this year, as opposed to taking the full brunt of the hit right now. The Texans are projected to have just more than $3 million in cap space entering the year. This would open up $9 million more for the Texans. The two things I take issue with in that analysis: one, he wound up starting just two of 10 games he appeared in. Well, he's on a team with Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., and he's listed as a defensive end. So if we're going to get into starting as opposed to being in the rotation, like he was always going to be a rotational guy. He was never going to be a quote starter with those two guys.
Yeah.
The other thing is he missed a bunch of games because he got suspended, and that doesn't make it right. But I would look at him as somebody who would have a normal training camp next year. Hopefully, not get suspended for six games and need two more games to get the. Remember, he came back in week seven, week nine. He had the two sacks against Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's when he had kind of kick the rust off a little bit, you know.
Yeah, that's the tough thing is he's 35 years old. He was suspended for PEDs, which he says was the result of a pharmacy screw up or whatever. You got to be always skeptical of a guy that had an awesome season the year before he ended up getting suspended for PEDs.
Yeah,
and in some ways he became a bit of an afterthought after they signed Danielle Hunter. I think that The Texans signed Danico Autry and then learned that Danielle Hunter was a possibility. And that it was almost like Dwayne Wade had moved in to be roommates with Chris Howard and Gabrielle Union or something. You know, like all right, see where this is going.
I love that you bring that back around.
He would be the biggest cap savings that the Texans could realize by cutting somebody on this team right now. Net cap savings.
Yep.
They'd save $5.7 million, $5.8 million.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of guys like Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, Shaq Mason. You would have a net cap savings on all of those guys. It's one of those dynamics where, yeah, you've got a net cap savings, but you've also got a lot of dead money, and now you got to go out and find a replacement for those guys. So it's not as simple as like, oh, okay, net cap savings, let's go get them.
Right.
It's nice to have a really good pass protecting left tackle.
Absolutely. You know? So I guess the question is then, Seth, which would you rather have if you were the general manager of the Texans? The actual general manager, by the way, will join us at 7:30 on Wednesday, Nick Caserio. Would you rather have $9 million in cap space or Danico Autry on this team next year?
Well, it'd be an extra $5.7 million,
right? The article says $9 million, but whatever.
All right. I would say that I would rather have He's 35 years old.
Yeah.
I think it's time to basically look at it like it was a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah. I'd love to have him on the team, but I think this team needs to make moves. And right now, they're kind of at salary cap gridlock right now, especially if they don't extend Stephon Diggs today. You know, whole $16 million's hitting this year's cap of the money, the voidable year money that they gave to him.
I think the guys that are probably most likely to either be, I don't even know if you want to call them cap casualties, it's that you can cut them without too much pain, are DeNico Autry, where you're going to get a good sum back of net savings, but then also Shaq Mason, where I think he's showing all of his age at this point, and you got to move on, and you can save. You can have a net savings of $2.1 million by letting him go.
Yeah, you just like that. I know there's people who be like, well, what's Titus? What's Laramie? Laramie's not getting cut. Okay, he's not.
And Titus is fine. Yeah. I know Titus hasn't. Titus got a contract that was probably too much for what he had to say. Remember, he got that contract. It was the only time in his career he'd ever been healthy the whole year. And it wasn't like he had an all-pro type of season or anything. He got a very nice extension. But I like having Titus there. He's not my ideal offensive lineman, but it's not like he's a bad offensive lineman.
No. There are some interesting names in this article for other teams. How about Sheldon Rankins being the guy who'd get cut in Cincinnati in this exercise? 1 year after going there to sign, he signed a 2-year, $24, $26 million deal, something like that. And that he would be the guy that, at least according to Cincinnati's beat writer, they would move on from. Sheldon Rankins.
I think that Sheldon Rankins is a guy, though, that they I guess I'm guessing the team. I didn't check in on how Sheldon Rankins was doing this year or anything, but the team didn't sign Sheldon Rankins expecting him to be a huge impact player. And I'm guessing they're probably, again, without having looked at how he did this year on a defense, it was very, very bad. I don't think they're a guy that they're looking at as like, oh, he's part of the problem. We got to move on from him.
He disappointed the 31-year-old did when healthy this season, managing one sack and four pressures, and he missed the second half of the year with an illness. Oh, that sucks. But they get
sounds like this guy's anti-illness.
That's right.
Sorry, it's his fault. He caught the flu. Yeah, all right.
Exactly. I'm just looking to see if there's names. If I were the Texans, I'd kick tires on. You know what I mean? Like Christian Kirk. You know that'd be he got paid in Jacksonville, and he's at that stage with his contract where he's very cuttable.
Yeah.
Would you take Christian Kirk as a guy to play the slot receiver here at a reasonable wage?
Would I take him?
Yeah. Would you sign him? Yeah. Would you?
Yeah. I think any of these guys. I don't need marquee guys. I need guys that are dependable pros at this point. And I do think like we almost got spoiled by having big names or exciting names across the board with all of your three starting wide receivers last year. That you forget that, like, okay, wait, no, that's not the standard. There's plenty of really good offenses that have one stud wide receiver and then a couple of really good or, you know, above average receivers, and that's plenty as long as you've got other good things going on in the offense.
This article has Cooper Kupp being a cap casualty, so not trading him but cutting him, as you just kind of alluded to in the last segment. They've got Devontae Adams as a cap casualty, which if they can't trade him, he's definitely getting cut because he's supposed to make like $35 million next year.
Yeah.
It's not unguaranteed. And then they've got Derek Carr and Joey Bosa in this article getting cut as cap casualties. Big names, man.
Bosa Minor?
Bosa Minor, yeah. The lesser of the two Bosas, the older. Bosa the elder, yeah.
I wonder what the discussions were with Kellen Moore when he took the job in New Orleans about exactly what he thought of Derek Carr and how they wanted to treat him moving forward. I'm guessing they've got a pretty good feel for it. I don't know. And if you're trying to be competitive but also churn through all of this dead money that the Saints are still in the middle of, I could see Kellen Moore wanting Derek Carr around. Just having a veteran quarterback to where you can put, you can actually run an offense and start to establish a culture.
Cutting Carr would add more dead money to the Saints' league-leading total, but the franchise has a lot of those contracts coming off the books after next year to provide some relief. Yeah, the Saints, it's coming back to roost, man. Like, all the money they kept shoving into future years with Drew Brees and Sean Payton and everybody, like, it takes
people
a while.
People saying the cap doesn't exist,
yeah,
you can do whatever you want. You got to pay the piper at some point.
You do, and the Saints are there. The Saints are at that point. I would, you know what, if you can get out from under it. God, if the Saints cut Derek Carr, though, that's That's a good way to tank. Give Spencer Rattler the ball for 17 games and see what happens. It's a good way to
whatever, get Spencer Rattler hater.
I know. I wanted the Texas.
The preseason number one overall pick from 2017?
Yeah, something like that.
It felt like forever ago.
That? Yeah. Yeah, remember those days? All right. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Monday. Good to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us earlier this morning. Not getting up with us, but appreciate you sticking with us today. A lot of you are off today. And back in tomorrow. Interesting articles from Jonathan Alexander and DJ Bieniemy about the forward-looking, the future offensive coordinator and the past offensive coordinator. The big money quotes and stories on each of them from these two articles. We'll have those for you coming up next. Right, so two big articles, long articles about the Texans, one in the Chronicle, one on ESPN.com over the weekend. Both very, very good. Jonathan Alexander talked to a bunch of people who have worked with or around Nick Caley before. We'll get into some of those, some of the quotes and the stories from that in just a second. The other one was DJ Bieniemy, who did a deep dive on how and why things failed under Bobby Slowik. Sounds like talked to at least one player, if not more players. Because I would say of these two articles, Seth, the quote that got screen grabbed and sent to me by people, you know, that happens a lot with this article about the Texans. We have friends or colleagues or whatever, they screen grab and send it to you like, ooh, this, and they highlight it or whatever, was the one player quote from DJ's article that said about the Texans offense, I don't think we had a true identity of what the F we wanted to do. And
yeah, so immediately, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of that, too, I think goes back to the very beginning of the season when the Texans saw and realized, okay, these defenses are going to do everything they can to take the top off the offense and try to limit the big explosive plays. You're going to see a bunch of cover two. How do we respond to that? And it took Bobby forever to realize that, like, no, this is your new reality. Figure out a way to beat it. And they didn't have any answers for it.
No.
So it became a grab bag of attempted solutions. And then at the same time, in pass protection, They were completely flummoxed by a lot of the things that, frankly, it's not just the Vikings. A lot of teams are doing defensively these days with some of the overload fronts that disguise blitzes, some of the things that teams were doing to basically dictate pass protection to the Texans. It took forever for them to learn how to handle all of that. And it leads to a lack of identity when you're not doing anything well consistently. They didn't have anything they could lean into.
Yeah, I mean, it boils down to, like, Nick Caley needs to be a much better teacher than Bobby Slowik was. And I would add Chris Strouser to that, too.
A big part of it is, I mean, so much of what I like about Nick Caley in terms of the potential for him and how he's different than Bobby Slowik is that Bobby Slowik had a lot of the identifying traits of a whiteboard warrior. You know, a guy that loves the schemes and loves figuring out ways to attack other teams. But at the root of it all, you've got to have fundamentally sound football players doing that. And you got to be able to teach them what you want them to do and with the proper fundamentals. Where with Caley, a lot of it is the exact opposite. He mentioned the word fundamentals at least three times in his opening press conference. He used the word blue collar in his interview with John and Mark on Texans All Access. He talked over and over again about the importance of teaching things and making them simple for the players. All of these things are things that I think it's just a different worldview than Bobby Slowik. And I like the Nick Caley worldview more than I like the Bobby Slowik worldview.
Do you think there's more people, I'm sure there's more people, like, within the offense, like the players. I'm just trying to think, as you're laying out some of the things that he said last week in his press conference and in the interview with John and Mark, like, I certainly think there's got to be people who hear what all that he was saying, and they're like, feel a little more on notice, maybe, than they, like, if I'm Dalton Schultz, and I'm listening to that quote about how you can tell, I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm pretty accurate. You can tell the toughness the physicality of a team by how physically their tight ends block in the run game.
I believe it was that you can't, he said, if you show me a physical offense,
exactly,
then you've got physical tight ends.
Yes.
Or if you have a physical rushing offense and you've got physical tight ends.
Yeah.
Dalton
Schultz hears that and he's like, oh yeah, it's right up my alley, man. Ready to go rip ass and take heads off.
I don't know. If I'm Dalton Schultz, I might feel like, all right, I hope, yeah, maybe this is a coach that can really put me in the right position and use me in such a way that, yeah, that I can do that and coach me up well to do it. I don't know. I would imagine, yeah. He definitely is thinking, like, yeah, okay, they're going to be evaluating me in a way that maybe I hadn't been evaluated before.
How do you think the offensive line feels about this whole development?
I would think a lot of the issues with the pass protection and in the run blocking, mm-hmm, goes back to, I think, a confusing scheme when it came to the how Bobby Slowick wanted them to sort things out. It's not just the O-line coach in that regard. That's Bobby Slowick as the engineer of the run game. There seemed to be a lot of confusion, especially early in the season with a lot of that. And I think that they're probably just happy to have a guy that's more about the run game.
Yep.
I mean, everything about Bobby Slowick just screamed to me, this is a guy that doesn't genuinely know the run game, and I don't know if he actually cares all that much about it or not. Yeah. Maybe he says he does and he thinks he does, but not in the same way of somebody that's been working as a tight ends coach for a long time and knows exactly what the challenges are.
We should point out in Jonathan's article, you know, the quote that we just read about them not knowing what the F they were doing. A player saying that was from DJ's article. Now, Jonathan's article, to your point, Seth, about the run game, had stories in here about how quickly Kaylee rose within New England to tight ends coach in 2017, but specifically in LA, when he got there with the Rams, he was there for 2 years. He worked closely with the O-line coach on short yarded situations and helping game plan the running game. He presented every week on ball security and apparently was pretty entertaining in doing these presentations about ball security. Yeah. A lot of guys talked about what a good presenter he was, and I think that to me is, you know, in terms of getting an engaged group of players, you know, guys that are listening, if you deliver it in a way, I would imagine, that's engaging and people like consuming, that helps probably.
I would hate to be the guy in charge of short yardage run game on the Rams, because Sean McVay notoriously does not go for it. I feel like a whole lot of work for a boss that's not going to appreciate or use my work.
Thanks.
You put in there, you submit the report of your life, and then you see like 3 weeks later that it's just sitting in the corner untouched. You know,
yes.
Like you had a little seal on it maybe, and the seal's still unbroken.
Yeah. I to go back to what we were just talking about the O-line. I got to imagine the O-line's really excited about this, because I 100% think, this is my own opinion, this is not a report, this is my opinion, when you get quotes like, I don't think we had a true identity of what the F we wanted to do, I feel really, really, really certain that came from an offensive lineman to DJ. That quote, quotes like, when teams would take away what we wanted to do, we didn't have answers for it.
I'll tell you what, I don't think it doesn't feel like this offensive line goes by the old motto of a lot of all offensive lines, is like, you know, like you shouldn't be talking to the media as much as possible. I would not be surprised if they're very liberal with speaking off the record.
Yes.
Which is something that I just flat out don't like.
Yeah.
I mean, just by virtue of some of the articles that are written, I'm like, oh, that's O-line propaganda. Like right there, that is O-line propaganda.
Yep.
And I don't, it's like two things can be true. They could be saying things that are true, but also shut your yap. You know, it keeps stuff in-house. I don't, with offensive linemen especially.
Yeah.
I don't like offensive linemen that are media whores.
Yeah. So. I'm with you on that. Someone said, LOL, we were just talking about possible salary cuts around the league. The Athletic had an article where they had one cap casualty for each team. Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line, LOL, big names, Derek Carr. Derek Carr is the equivalent to Mike Hampton. Okay, well, that's a weird analogy. Derek Carr is a big name for somebody who, he's a quarterback, he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. That would be a big name to get cut by the New Orleans Saints, especially because they don't have a solution behind Derek Carr right now with a brand new coach. Yeah. No, he's a big name. He's a big name. Text message, Jim Adler, Texas Hammer text line. Cut Audrey, trade Tunsil. Tunsil's not getting traded. Tunsil's going to be the starting left tackle for this football team in week one. I hate to break that to people who want him traded. He's going to be here. He's still really good at football.
So he's and I think with Tunsil, I think you got to also look at the fact that he did try to become more of a blue collar player in the second half of the season. I think he cleaned up the false starts, which I know I don't want to give a huge pat on the back for something that never should have been an issue to begin with. The genuinely really good all pro caliber offensive tackles in the league usually have from anywhere from 0 to 4 false starts in an entire season. And yet he cleaned that up. And he did seem more intently focused on run blocking, which is something that's not always been his calling card. So I'm open to the possibility that he kind of turned a corner in some regards or saw the light, and that especially with Nick Haley as his coach, maybe ends up being a little bit better in that regard. I mean, I'll go back to Bill O'Brien as a coach too. I think Bill O'Brien was a really bright guy who also didn't do a great job of teaching the fundamentals. And that's why that offense was never a genuinely good offense in the NFL. Bill O'Brien never had a genuinely good offense while he was here. And there were fundamental flaws in the way that the offensive line and other was operated when he was here. So that if Kaley is the real dude, this might perhaps be the best environment he's had in terms of actually operating as a complete offensive tackle instead of just a pass blocking specialist.
Yeah, the article about Kaley that Jonathan did, there was a former coworker, Mike LaFleur, categorized him as a maniac, but in the best way possible. Dave Ragone would talk about being able to hear through the wall, like the reactions to some of the presentations and things like that. He seems like a legit high energy guy, like not a phony guy who says he's high energy. Like he seems.
I think a phony high energy guy.
Well, just some of these coaches when they get these jobs, like every defensive coach, that gets a new job as a coordinator, they all say our defense is going to be more aggressive. They all say, and a lot of times they're not. And I think sometimes, like I think there's a lot of coaches that pay lip service to energy, and I think Kaley's,
Who's the starting NFL quarterback who wouldn't be considered a big name? I feel like it's almost, as long as you're a bona fide actual starting quarterback, you're a big name.
You're a big name.
I can't, yeah.
It's a good question.
I'm going through the list of projected starters. I mean,
is Gardner Minshew still considered a starting quarterback in the NFL? No, Reggie's shaking his head. No. Okay.
Gardner Minshew might be the guy that's not a big name.
Aiden O'Connell was not a big name. He started.
Yeah, Aiden O'Connell. Gardner Minshew. It's still he's not a big name.
Yeah.
He's a name that everybody knows, but he's not a big name. Derek Carr is still a big name. I mean, he's a guy that's been
$40 million a year.
a huge point of conversation and major, major stories for a long time.
Yes. Reggie.
Daniel Jones is a big name.
Big name. He sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a big name.
He's a big name. He was starting Vikings quarterback this year, Sean. Shut your mouth.
All right.
Is he a free agent?
No. Well, I don't know if he's starting Giants quarterback, and then he got picked up by the Vikings. And I don't know.
Thank you for
you said he was a starting Vikings quarterback, is all I'm
saying. No, I said he could be the starting Vikings quarterback.
You said
this
he was.
Year.
I misunderstood you. Sorry about that. I don't know if he's on the Vikings.
Thanks for letting me know he played for the Giants.
You do misspeak sometimes. You're the one telling me to correct you sometimes. All right, Reggie Atatula. Reggie Atatula and John Lopez are here. What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
I'm a little disappointed in you, to be honest.
Whoa.
Why is that? Join the club.
I had to consult Reggie.
Why?
Because you didn't pop in during the last commercial break.
I thought about that during the last.
And say, howdy, fellas.
Howdy, fellas. It's my tradition.
It's how I start my day.
Reggie
honestly.
Was heartbroken.
If the show doesn't go well today.
Yeah.
He was literally looking at the door.
I'm blaming
He's coming. He's coming.
I'd read into it if I were you,
It's
Reggie.
Like the dad that said he was going to be there to pick up your kid and take him to Little League and didn't show up.
Yeah. Reggie? My sincere apologies for not popping in there.
All right.
I was on a tight time frame. I had to get a new drink.
I understand.
Yep.
I understand.
How we doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good weekend?
It was a very good weekend.
Did you partake in any of the All-Star festivities, either of you, over the weekend?
I tried.
Is there too much Kevin Hart going on right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That wouldn't be where I started when I started laying blame, but I feel like...
Well, it started like on Friday.
Yeah, you know, I feel like the... Yeah. I feel like it's less about Kevin Hart himself, and I think Kevin Hart is indicative of an issue that the All-Star game has.
Yeah.
Which is, hey, man, this is a three-hour television show without 3 hours of television content.
Yeah. Did you see the person that tallied up how much actual basketball there was?
42 minutes,
yeah. It'd be awesome if the other 2 hours and 18 minutes were actually, you know, like something cool, but
yeah,
they're not.
That was the problem.
They're not, yeah. Yeah.
But a lot of other good stuff. And a lot of
today's Diggs Day, you know.
That's right. Today is Diggs Day.
Yes. Yeah, it's Diggs Day. Yes. Something's got to happen with
mm-hmm.
Diggs today,
mm-hmm.
or else it's a big $16 million punch in the face.
That's
for
right.
The Houston Texans.
Wait, so. For nothing.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys want him back?
I'm intrigued by the opportunity to have him back, but I would be lying if I said that $16 million cap hit did not factor into my calculus there.
Yeah.
Well, we can make that more palatable by returning Stephon Diggs. There's a reasonable question to be asked about what he's going to give you coming off of an ACL. Yeah.
I'd like to know what the other options are, because there is going to be another option. I mean, there is going to be another.
Oh, there's plenty.
You know, veteran, you know, that type of receiver or whatever. So, that's why I'm kind of waffling on it. But, overall, probably.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah. I want him back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I want him back at what I think is a reasonable price. I think he may think he's worth more than what I think is a reasonable price.
Yeah.
Which he may be once the ACL mm-hmm. comes back.
I think that Sean had made the point earlier that, you know, he's still recovering from an ACL that wasn't that long ago, and that he might just want to wait until July or so when he might feel he gets his best value there, and then he can kind of cherry pick the best situation. Mm-hmm. And as long as the Texans have a good relationship with him, that kind of can put the Texans in a position where, okay, we'll see what the draft does, where we end up in the draft. Maybe they draft a guy with a 25th overall pick that they feel good about, and then they don't have to think about signing Stephon Diggs. But maybe they don't. Maybe they don't get a guy in the first two rounds, and they don't really like any of the free agents. They've still got Stephon Diggs waiting out there to potentially come in if they have a good feel for it. So I'm open to anything.
Yeah. Am I reading you right there that you're kind of putting that as one wide receiver, whether it's via draft or re-signing Stephon Diggs? Because I've been under the impression you kind of just need to go ahead and get two in this offseason.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.